Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Scouts on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour saw a crop that grew larger as they moved west from Indiana into Illinois yesterday. Indiana's corn yields, while variable, averaged 185 bushels per acre, compared to 167.4 last year and the 141.2 BPA three-year average. Indiana's soybeans averaged 1,220 pods in a 3-by-3-foot square, higher than last year's 1,185 and the three-year average of 1,118. Scouts on the Western Tour saw a Nebraska corn yield that was great in some places and average in others. The state's average yield, including irrigated and non-irrigated land, was 163.7 BPA. That's a Nebraska record if it were to pan out. Last year, the average was 154.9 BPA, and the three-year average was 146.8 bushels to the acre. Nebraska soybean pod count averaged 1,103 pods in a 3-foot-by-3-foot square, compared to 1,138 last year and 1,106 for the three-year average. A U.S. Treasury Department official called on Tokyo to cooperate fully with U.S. and Eastern European, European sanctions on Russia, saying Japanese companies should not seek to grab business left behind by Western rivals. The U.S. Treasury official acknowledged that Japanese firms were under no legal obligation to curtail their financial activity with Russian firms, unlike their U.S. or European counterparts, but the official added that the U.S. had confidence in Japanese compliance. He said his stance did not encounter resistance from Japan during meetings yesterday in Tokyo. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 110,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to Vietnam during the 2014-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,914. It's down 5.5 points. The NASDAQ 4521 down 6.3. The S&P 500 is 1980, and it is down just over 0.5 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Much of the Midwest will likely encounter scattered showers and thunderstorms as we move forward through this next 7 to 10-day period. The only areas that are going to see a relatively dry, biased pattern will be in the southwest corner of the region, including portions of eastern Kansas, parts of Missouri, southwestern Illinois, southward into portions of western Kentucky and the northern Delta. These areas will probably not see too much in the way of significant precipitation for a while, and the net drying bias is probably going to be more welcome than not because of all the significant rain that fell this past weekend. As we move forward through this next 5 to 7 day period, that area will see less than a half inch of moisture, with some areas in eastern Kansas and western Missouri possibly staying dry. The forecast for all other areas in the Midwest continues to promote a lot of precipitation, especially from Nebraska into portions of Minnesota and Wisconsin. Some of that area could easily see 1 to 3 inches of rainfall, and some of the model data this morning suggested 4 and 5, maybe even 6 inches in a couple of spots. I think some of this rainfall is a little overdone, but nevertheless, the pattern is going to be supportive for slow-moving thunderstorms and repetitive rainfall across parts of that region. As far as our dry areas is concerned in northeastern Iowa and some of the immediate neighboring areas, of course, we've already seen some reduction in the dry conditions. As we go forward through the coming week, we'll likely see more relaxing of that dryness bias. But there will be some areas in east central Iowa that will probably get not much more than 3/4 of an inch to an inch of rain, and there will still be need for more moisture However, the region is not going to be subjected to any prolonged period of hot weather, and so whatever crop stresses in the region is probably not going to fester into something more serious. There has been at least a small amount of yield reduction in some of the driest areas in the upper Midwest this summer, but I don't think the losses are tremendous across the region. A lot will depend on when that early frost and freeze event takes place across those areas, since crops are still quite immature across the region. Now we're dealing with wet weather, which will also promote a slower rate of maturation. For the eastern Midwest, the wettest conditions are likely in portions of Michigan, Ohio, northeastern Indiana, and some immediate neighboring areas in Pennsylvania, where we'll see some rain totals of 1 to 2 inches over the next 7 days. The temperature outlook across most of the Midwest will continue to be primarily in a seasonable range, maybe a little bit warmer than usual, though, for these next 3 or 4 days. We'll see a lot of temperatures in the 80s, and some 90s will likely occur. Those 90s are likely from Kansas and parts of Nebraska to the east-southeast across southern Illinois into portions of Kentucky and southward into the Delta and portions of the southern U.S. Plains. We'll see some of that heat also continuing as we go into the early part of the weekend, but some cooler air will work its way from northwest to southeast across the Midwest as we get into the latter part of the weekend and into the early part of next week. Some locations in the northwestern Corn Belt will cool down to the 70s this weekend, and perhaps even a few upper 60s will be possible as we move into the early part of next week, but only in northernmost portions of North Dakota and Minnesota's crop country. We'll look for the rest of the Midwest to hold off on any cooling for a while. And then the biggest issue of the week next week is going to be whether or not a tropical cyclone will work its way to the Gulf of Mexico coast and possibly produce some heavy rains in the southeastern part of the country and maybe even in portions of the Midwest. It's way too soon for us to get specific about the prospects for rain in the Midwest from that system, but we're going to continue to watch it rather closely. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, 622.5 down 2. Soft September, 541 down 5. September corn, 357 down 5.5. December, 366.25 down 6. July, 394 down 6.25. September soybeans, 1123 up 2.75. November, 1042.5 down 10.5. Now down 10, now down 9.75. Now 10.25. It's bouncing all over the place. July, 1069 down 9.25. September soybean meal, 402, and it's up 220. September soybean oils, 3255 down 11. October, make that August live cattle, 149.10 down 140. August feeders, 215.75 down 140. And October lean hogs are 93.77.5 and they're down 105. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
How does it feel to be close to the garden spot of the world, which is, you know, Illinois, but you're almost there.
it feels pretty good. We got a little bit of rain last night, which kind of took a little bit of the pressure off for guys in some areas. Unfortunately, it was a little bit more scattered than most guys would like. Reports around my area were anywhere from 1.4 to 2.6, but you travel 30 miles south and you hear reports of a couple 4 tenths, and those guys are a little bit disappointed, especially with the heat that we're going to see the balance of the week. But as far as we're concerned, the corn is looking really good, and the beans just got a really good dose of good news.
So the numbers that we're seeing today, which is pretty much chopping down, it's down today, but it's been chopping around the range that it's been trading in for the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
Any of this being brought to bear from the tour, do you think, or no?
Yeah, I think one of the things that the tour is really doing is kind of dampening the mood of last week's reversal in the corn and the soybean meal. When you talk about the bean yields or the pod counts are up to speed, granted the pods aren't necessarily filling like we would like, but as far as the numbers and the potential is concerned, when you put out good numbers for the corn and the bean yields prospects, that's keeping the buyers at bay. Last week we probably saw some short covering after the USDA supply demand report, but there's no incentive for anybody to really accumulate length here, so the trade's taken on that choppy defensive pattern. And that's likely to continue for a while until we get a better dose of headline news.
Does it go all the way through the September report?
You know, I think realistically that I want to respect last week's reversal in the corn and the meal, so we're probably going to be choppy sideways. I'd like to think that maybe we'll run out of selling pressure and basically get some short covering that will continue next week or maybe the week after. And then we evaluate based on crop conditions, does the USDA have the ammunition to go ahead and raise corn yields like the bear wants to think? A lot of guys were looking for that high 160s as far as corn yields concerned. Can we tack on another couple of bushels? We'll probably be able to make that determination in a couple of weeks, but just not yet.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick, September corn, 356 and a half down 6. December, 365 and three quarters down 6 and a half. September soybeans, 1124 and a quarter up 4. November, 1042 down 10 and three quarters. September soybean meal, 402 up 220. September soybean oil, 3254 down 12. Now it's down 14. August live cattle, 149.15 down 135. October lean hogs, 93.67 and a half down 115. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.